in the early part of last year, an infectious outbreak of a strain of the Elizabeth Kingia bacteria sickened more than 60 people and was fatal for 18 Wisconsin residents.
Well, Illinois and Michigan also had some reported infections. Wisconsin was the hardest hit. Because of that, international interest grew and many scientists worked together to try to figure out what was happening in the state.
Scott Gordon joins us now. He's the associate editor of WisContext. He just published a piece about the effort to understand the Elizabeth Kingia outbreak. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, take us out to this outbreak. It was a surprise, kind of out of nowhere. Remind us what happened.
Well, usually Elizabeth Kingia infects, you know, a handful of people every year in each state. And it's very unusual to have an outbreak of this scale. And when one of these genus of bacteria cause an outbreak, it's usually something that is kind of tied to a single, hospital facility or medical facility where, you know, all of the patients would have been kind of physically exposed to a common source of the bacteria. In this case, it was spread out around 12 counties in Wisconsin. And so there wasn't quite that same common tie. So as a consequence, it's been very hard for health officials to figure out exactly how this particular strain spread, and they still haven't got a clear answer on that.
And who was most at risk from this outbreak?
Basically, this genus of bacteria is really common. It's out there in soil and water. It doesn't infect a lot of people. But if you have a weakened immune system, then it kind of opportunistically can infect you. So people who are elderly, infants, people who are already battling a serious illness or, you know, have some other kind of condition that, weakens their immune defenses, those are the people that are most at risk, really.
And if we went back 2 years in time and talked to a public health official before this outbreak, Elizabeth Kingia would not have been really on the radar. It wouldn't have been on the top list of what's keeping him awake at night.
Yeah, not really. There's certainly stuff out there in the medical literature about Elizabeth Kingia outbreaks, but, you know, one public health researcher said to me just this week, this isn't something that was really on our radar until this happened.
So now the CDC reached out. They thought, okay, what can we learn about this? They did something unusual to try to get researchers on board. What did they do?
Basically, they took all this genomic data from organisms, sampled from various patients in Wisconsin, and put it out there online for people to grab. And, they spread the word about it through Twitter. And, researchers from around the world, you know, within 24 hours or so started kind of taking advantage of that and comparing this, genetic information with what they knew, which I think was helpful because there's been so little research on this pathogen, and what information is out there is spread around quite a bit.
Now, this isn't exactly, I use the word crowdsourcing when I talked to you earlier. It isn't exactly that because, I wouldn't be researching this at home, for example. But it's kind of unusual to say, hey, anybody who could research this, here's all our info. What can you make of it?
Right. And I think the speed of it was a really unusual thing because usually this information would get out there, but maybe it's just kind of a slower pace.
Talking to Scott Gordon from WisContext about the Elizabeth Kingia outbreak, kind of came out of nowhere, mostly here in Wisconsin, led to fatalities and a lot of people infected by this bacteria that doesn't usually affect that many people. So, Scott, you've got this CDC posting of the genome of this strain of the Elizabeth Kingia virus. We've got researchers around the world and here, I'm guessing, in Wisconsin looking at it. What kind of things did they learn from breaking this down?
Well, they published a paper in Nature recently, and it is a kind of a truly international effort. There's people from Wisconsin, as you said, but also people from the University of Melbourne in Australia, people from Institut Pasteur in Paris. And essentially what they found is that this strain has some really distinctive genetic mutations and that there's a lot of genetic mutation within this strain. So they've kind of figured out that Elizabeth Kingia bacteria mutate a little bit more often than a lot of others.
And so this one, if they compare the Elizabeth Kingia that caused this outbreak to the stuff we've had around beforehand, this one does look distinctive and different.
Yes, and that's helpful in that it helps people understand that they really have an outbreak on their hands as opposed to, scattered cases here and there, and that there's likely some kind of linkage between all these different cases.
Is there any thought that, okay, these mutations may have made this disease more infectious and maybe more deadly?
That could well be. The study really doesn't set out to establish that. You know, there's a possibility that it could have made the bacteria more virulent or made the bacteria more resistant to people's immune defenses. They haven't quite figured that out yet, but that could have had something to do with it for sure.
And is that hope to be maybe a next step of research, maybe not even for these same researchers, to say, okay, we see these differences, what do they mean?
Sure. And I think another step that people really want to see come out of this is just a broader gathering of genetic data on rare pathogens, so that when there's a surprising outbreak, when a pathogen like this, you know, sort of has an impact on a scale that people weren't expecting, researchers will have a lot more information to draw on in order to figure out what's going on.
Right. Sometime in the next 2 years, we might have an outbreak of not Elizabeth Kingia, but something else that's not on our radar. Is this a hope that this might be a model for how to quickly research these new emerging diseases?
Well, I'm not sure if people are using it as a model or not, but I know people that I talked with at the CDC and, you know, at places like the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene were excited about this approach and, definitely were happy with what it enabled them to do.
And we had this big outbreak, again, a little over a year ago. What's been up with Elizabeth Kingia? Have we seen cases since that outbreak?
Yeah, there have been a few cases since the outbreak kind of subsided, and they haven't been of the outbreak strain.
So it's the stuff we had seen back in the past, kind of background noise.
Yeah, it's a little closer to normal where, I mean, obviously it matters that these people are getting sick, but it's a lot closer to the normal situation where there's a scattering of cases every year.
Now, I think bacteria, and I think, okay, no big deal, antibiotics should help us with that. But looking at this particular disease, that is easier said than done.
Right. It's resistant to, to many common antibiotics. And there's kind of a few specific ones that are known to be effective against it. And kind of in the midst of the outbreak, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services put some guidelines out about, you know, what kinds of drugs doctors should try and just how they should kind of try to calibrate it to specific patients. And they felt that once they got that out there, people had a little bit better luck, you know, beating the thing and surviving.
Now, here in Wisconsin, we have this research in Nature that you mentioned. I assume, I mean, obviously there are other diseases to worry about, but I assume Wisconsin health officials haven't dusted off their hands and closed the chapter on Elizabeth Kingia. They're still wanting to learn more.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, we still haven't exactly, the state, I should say, hasn't exactly figured out where this came from. You know, in other studies of Elizabeth Kingia outbreaks in the medical literature, there's, you know, been some kind of conclusion of, you know, this was on a faucet that a bunch of people were exposed to or something like that. But here we still really don't quite know.
So the genome part solved part of the mystery. It identified that this is a different mutant strain. It didn't solve all of the mystery.
That's right. Or it might help with the remaining pieces, but hard to say.
Well, Scott, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date on this.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Scott Gordon, associate editor for WisContext. He joined us to talk about why the Elizabeth Kingia outbreak in Wisconsin last week was different than the usual, why it was deadly, some recent research on the genetics behind this. You can read his research, by the way. Check it out over at WisContext.org.